talking about and studying over the last bunch of weeks different tests that the Bible talks about, and we're going to continue in that series of lessons this morning. But before we do that, let me share a couple of things that are happening. This evening, being our fourth Sunday fellowship evening, we're going to be having a spaghetti dinner, something a little bit different than we've done before. Here's what I need you to do. I'm fixing spaghetti, and I'm hoping that Ursula doesn't, she will not judge me too harshly on the spaghetti, but I'm going to fix some spaghetti, and if you want to bring salad or bread or whatever drinks, desserts you want to have, well, we're just going to have spaghetti dinner tonight. Real simple, and just enjoy the fellowship time. But if you're going to be here tonight, there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board next to the doors going out that I need for you to sign up so I know how much food to fix. That's what it's all about. Everybody's welcome and encouraged to come, but I just need to know how much spaghetti meat sauce to fix. So if you would sign up on there so that I can figure that all out, I'd appreciate it. 5 o'clock this evening, we may do a little bit of singing, I'm not really sure, but mainly we're just going to come together and have some good fellowship time and enjoy some spaghetti together. Program for next week, keep in mind, two major things happening. Next week, we do our preacher swap, being fifth Sunday of the month, we do our preacher swap, and so Mike Green from Cawson Street will be here speaking, Bible class and worship time. And I will be over at Petersburg speaking over there. And then at 6 o'clock Sunday evening, we have the area-wide singing, and that will be over at Petersburg. So please keep those things in mind and plan for that, and hope to see everybody at least over at the singing, since I won't see you here, but hope to see you over at the singing next Sunday evening. So that's what's going on there. Then on Tuesday, October the 1st, is our National Night Out celebration with our Neighborhood Watch. The Neighborhood Watch group had this, our last meeting this past Tuesday, last meeting before the National Night Out. We're going to be basically hosting our neighborhood for that event. So I want to encourage you to plan to come out for that. We're going to be having some face painting for the children. We're going to be having a bouncy house for the kids. And we're going to be, the church is going to be providing hamburgers and hot dogs. We'll be cooking for folks. Well, actually, I'm going to cook the hamburgers. If you want a hot dog, you have to cook it on fire yourself. We had a lot of fun with that last year. A lot of people really enjoyed that. If you really just don't cook at all, I'll cook you a hot dog. Charlotte's over here giving me the eye. But that's something that we really look forward to, and something that our neighbors here are really looking forward to, and want to encourage you to come out. Two things that we need. We need canopies. If you have any of those pop-up canopies, if we could bring those, you can bring them ahead of time, would be great, so we know how many that we have. And also, chairs. You have folding chairs, because we're not going to have the tent that we've had the past several years. We're not going to have that tent and the tables and all there, so we're going to use the canopies and put the tables up, but we need people just to bring folding chairs or whatever that you can use out there for that. We've had a lot of great time with that, and that has been a really great avenue for us into our neighborhood with our neighbors around here as the Neighborhood Watch. So I really want to encourage as many of you as can to come out that evening and just to share that time, get to know our neighbors and let them get to know you. So that'll be October the 1st, Tuesday, all right? So that's what's happening. Okay, as we've been saying all along in this study, the Bible talks a lot about various tests. There are a lot of different kinds of tests that we read about, that God tells us about in His Word. And there are basically two different types of these tests, okay? There are tests that God gives to us, and we've talked about some of those where there's the trials test, and God puts us through certain trials and tests and strengthen our faith, and there's a heart test we talked about where God looks at the motivations of our heart and things of that nature. There are tests that the Bible says that we are to give. We talked about a test that we're supposed to give, where we're supposed to test everything, primarily referring to in the context the the teachings and the doctrines that we hear, we're to test those and make sure that they are true. You see? So that's an example of a test that God tells us that we need to be giving and taking. The test that God gives to us, the test that we are to be taken, are always intended to strengthen and to increase our faith. That's why God gives them to us. They're not that God, these tests are not given to us to try to get us to fail. It's not like in school, you know, where your professor's giving you a test and you're like, oh, I hope they don't pass that, you know. No, God has given us these tests because He wants us to be strengthened. So they are tests to help us to grow in Him. Okay? And just like tests in school, though, we need to be looking at these things and asking ourselves, how am I doing? How am I doing? So that I can see where I need to grow, where I need to be strengthened, where I need to improve. Right? So God is giving us various tests. This morning, the test we're going to talk about is the tithe test. Okay? This is talking about our giving. And I know some of you already are thinking, oh no, here we go again. He's going to ask him about money. Okay? Well, you know what? I don't apologize for that, because God, in His Word, tells us we need to be giving. That's part of our worship to Him, okay? And we need to understand giving in that way. Understand, you're not giving to me. You're giving to the Lord. So let's take a look at what God has to say about this tithe test that He talks about in His Word. First of all, let's talk about returns, okay? You know, aren't you glad that, especially like after the holiday time, that the stores that you bought stuff, or maybe you got gifts and all, they have a return section of the store, and especially after Christmas, they set up a whole area just for returns, because they know people are going to bring things back that they either don't want, or doesn't fit, or whatever the case may be. Some of them being broken or damaged, they get returned, right? And so you've probably seen signs like this where they say, we'll gladly exchange your credit returns. Sorry, no cash refunds. But some stores even encourage you to return the things that you're not satisfied with. Mostly they do that because they're hoping you might buy something different and maybe spend a little bit more money on it, right? You say, but they have a return department. And so this particular lady is returning her mirror. She says, its reflection doesn't look a thing like me. So maybe sometimes the things that we are returning, maybe we need to keep them and look a little bit more intently into them, right? But we pay returns. Now here's one that I like. Just a simple return department. Can you see what that object is on the counter? A boomerang. That's all right. Just think about it a minute. It'll come to you. It'll return to you, right? Okay. Maybe you've seen signs like this. All sales final, no returns and no exchanges. Okay? You bought it. It's yours. Keep it. We don't want it back. All right? Did you know that God has a return department? He does. God has a return department. And you know what the really great thing about God's return department is? He takes back damaged goods. Thank you. I got one on there. Let me say that again. He takes back damaged goods. All right? I'm glad that He does that. You see? He has a return department. Look in Malachi chapter 3, the text that Holloway read for us as we began this morning. And let's notice a couple of things here. First, about the return department that God has, okay? He begins by saying this, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Now, what does he mean by that? Why is he saying that? Well, basically what he's telling the Israelites, and he's telling you and I this also, that God is not wishy-washy. He doesn't just kind of bend with the wind and change his mind over things. And so you're kind of always wondering, is this what I should be doing or is that what I should be doing? God says, I don't change. You know what I expect. You know what I have commanded you. He says, I don't change so that you will not be destroyed. In other words, they would be destroyed for not obeying God's will, but if they didn't know what it really was at any given time, because he changes it all the time, then we'd all be destroyed, right? He says, I don't change. I do not change so that you are not destroyed. Then he goes on to say, ever since the time of your ancestors, you have, look at this, turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me. There it is. God's return department. Return to me. Now notice, they're broken, right? They're broken people. And he's saying, that's okay. Return to me anyway. I'll take you back. And that's what I love about God's return department. We don't have to be still in the original package, okay, without any defects or broken missing pieces. He takes us back. Broken and defective as we are. He wants us back. See? So that he can take us and repair us and fix us and make us what he wants us to be. He says to the Israelite people, ever since the beginning, your ancestors just keep turning away from me. They've turned away. But I want you to return. I want you to come back to me. And I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Now, the story about this old couple who's driving down the road one day, and the husband, he's over there driving, and the wife, she's sitting over there on the other side by the door, and they're just driving along down the road, and the wife speaks up. She says to her husband, she says, dear, she says, I don't understand. She said, you know, in the old times, we used to ride where I was sitting right next to you in the middle, and I'd kind of cuddle up next to you, and we'd ride down the road that way, and we haven't done that in such a long time. And here we are, you're over there, and I'm over here, and the husband, he's just driving down the road. And she's going on about the fact that they're no longer sitting there together. Finally, he looks over at her and says, who moved? Who moved? He certainly hadn't. He'd been in the same place all the time. And that's a kind of a comical story, but we need to think about it in terms of this. Okay? If God seems far away, who moved? He certainly hasn't. He says, I don't change. So if God is far away from you, if you feel like he's distant, then it's not because God has changed. It's not because he's moved. It's probably because you moved. Like that husband would say, come on back over here in the middle. That's what God's saying. Come back over here, right next to me. The Israelites, then, God would say, and this is God speaking here, and he kind of lays out, well, here's how they would respond to that. Well, how are we to return? If you're saying we've departed from you and you need us to, you want us to return to you, how are we to do that? Let's talk about robbery for a minute. Stick them up. Somebody pulls out a gun, they're going to rob you, right? Usually when we think about robbery, we think about something that where somebody is taking something from us, and they're usually using force, right? Robbery is considered to be a violent crime, in other words. Everybody got that? And usually when we talk about robbery, that's what we're talking about. Somebody stick a gun or a knife in you and say, okay, give me all you got here. They're taking what doesn't belong to them, and they're taking it from you by force. It's a lot different than stealing, which is still wrong, okay? But a lot of times people take things that don't belong to them, and they do it in secret. You know, kind of sneaky about it. Nobody's looking, and, you know, let's see if I can get away with this kind of thing. Why am I pointing this out? Well, it's because of what God says next to the Israelite people through Malachi. Okay? So God says, in kind of speaking for them, if you ask how are we to return, and notice what God says. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. Robbery. Taking away what doesn't belong to you by force. That's what God's calling you. He says, you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? And he says, in tithes and offerings. You notice how what God is doing here is he is connecting their leaving him and him wanting them to return to their tithes and offerings. In other words, the way that they have left God is by refusing to give the tithe that they are called upon by God to give. He says, you've turned away from me by not tithing. And not only have you turned away, but you're stealing from me. You are robbing me of what belongs to me. God calls that robbery. So the Israelite people may as well just be going, stick them up, God. That's how God looks upon it. It's not done in secret because God sees it all. He knows what they're doing. He's saying, you're robbing me. And how are we doing that? He says, in your tithes, by not offering them. And look at what he says next in verse 9. You're under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. You are taking away from me what belongs to me. Verse 10. Bring in the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. You see, the Israelites were required by the law to tithe. Bring a tenth of their income, a tenth of what they had, their crops, their herds, whatever it was, they were to bring a tenth. That's the tithe. And God says, you bring that whole tithe, not an eighth, not a seventh, not a fifth, not a ninth, but a tenth, the whole tithe. You bring that into my storehouse. Now, we need to make sure we understand. Was God telling them to bring this so he says, so I have food in my storehouse? Was that because God was hungry and he needed food from them so that he could eat? No. God doesn't need anything from us. But the way God had set up the law and the kingdom that he had at that time under the Israelite people, the provisions were to go to the priests and their families that took care of them. Because they were taking care of God's house and leading God's people. And so he made provision for that to take place. And not just for them, but for all the things that needed to be done to lead the people. So it wasn't that God got hungry and he needed, you know, some food to eat. It was for those that were the leadership and taking care of God's people. So bring in the whole tithe. Don't hold back any of them. You're holding it back. He says, you're robbing me. And look at what he says next. Here's our test part. He says, test me in this. So this is a test that God is calling upon us to give to Him. Okay? So here we get to test God. Now He's tested us, as we've already talked about in some things, right? But here He's saying, give me a test. Test me in this. What does He say in this test? Test me in this, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. That's the test. God says, bring it all in. Bring the whole tithe. Don't hold back. Give me a test. And see if I won't bless your life more than you can even hope. You see, when we withhold what we should be giving, what we're doing is we're saying we really don't believe that God's going to take care of us. I got, you know, these bills, it's coming towards the end of the month, and I need to make sure that I got enough to pay all these things, so I'm going to hold back this until I get through the month, and then maybe whatever I have left, I'll give to God. You know, the whole basis of the tithe, you know what that was based on? It's what was called first fruits giving. That what God required was not only that they give Him the best of their flocks and their herds and so forth, but they give the first fruits. In other words, they were to give to God a tenth of whatever they had, okay, before they had it all. And the reason they were to do that was because that was an expression of their faith that God was going to continue to provide for them what they needed. So they were to give out of faith what God required of them to give, knowing that God promised that He would continue to bless them. Look at what He says next. In verse 11, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. You see, what He's telling him is, if you do what you're supposed to do, I will take care of you. I will bless you beyond your wildest imagination. You won't have to worry about the fruit falling off the vine before it's ready. You won't have to worry about your crops dying in the fields. I will bless you. He says, test me in this. See if I won't do that. And that's what He tells the Israelite people. And He tells them that within the context of returning back to being faithful to Him. Remember that He said at the very beginning, I, the Lord, do not change. So here's a question for you. Do you think He's changed His mind any since dealing with the Israelites through Malachi? No, not one bit. Now, we are no longer in the New Testament. We're not told to tithe. Okay, nothing in the New Testament says we have to give 10%, but it does tell us that we are to give as we have been prospered. And here's kind of my take on that is, you know, if He required 10% or a tithe of the Israelite people back then, why would He require anything less of us today?
Amen.
Since He doesn't change. Why would He require less? See? So, here's a question for us to consider. Each and every one of us needs to really ask ourselves honestly, am I robbing God by not giving to Him as I have been prospered? Because when we're doing that, then that's basically what the Israelites were doing. Holding back what they had been prospered by God, and thus they were robbing him.
Amen.
And that would be no different today. When we hold back from God. And especially when we're looking at it, as I said earlier, and we're going, well, I've got all these bills. And I talk to people a lot that, you know, are coming and saying, hey, I need some help with this, I need some help with that. And all of us need help from time to time. There's not an issue there. But, you know, there are some people that just always are struggling financially and just can't seem to make ends meet no matter what. And I look at them and I say, you know, what are you doing in terms of giving to God when you do get something? See? Because there's this test that God has called upon us to give. And I challenge people all the time, test God. Take him up on that test. You start giving to God as you've been prospering, see if he won't start blessing you in ways that you haven't even imagined yet. Right? Or you can just go on robbing him and you keep wondering why things are the way that they are. Like Israel, you see, we turn away from God when we withhold from him what's due. Return department. Return to sender. God is the one who gives to us and blesses us. But how often do we turn away from him? Not just in this area of giving, but in different areas of our lives, and we turn away and are unfaithful to him. What God is saying to us is, come back to me. Return to me. My return department is open. All I got to do is come back. Return to me, he says. This is one of those tests that is really, sometimes it's tough. Because, you know, when I hear people all the time talk about, well, you know, I'm on fixed income. Well, most of us are. Okay? Income doesn't change a whole lot from time to time. We may get a raise or what have you, but we all have bills, we all have expenses, we all have to live. But God calls upon us to have faith in him, and that's what this is. It is really a test for God. It's a test for us. To look at our faith and say, do I really believe in his promises that he will bless me and take care of me? So it's something to think about. We've been looking at this idea of tests that God gives to us so that we are, in this case, to give to God. How are you doing in this particular test area? What you think about that? Tom has a song that he's prepared for us to sing, and we're going to use that as an invitation song. And if it's not in this particular area, then maybe some other area of your life where you're, you know, maybe you're wandering away from the Lord, and he's saying to you this morning, return to me, whatever that might be. Ray and Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with either one of them, and I'll be right up front to receive anyone that would like to come up here. We have this song, and it's an invitation song, and that's what it means. Everyone is invited. If we can serve you in any way to help you to grow closer to the Lord, or if there's someone here that's not yet a Christian, you've not given your life to Christ, you can do that right now. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you're ready to make him Lord of your life, and repent of the sin that's separating you from God. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. All you got to do is come up and let me know. Let's stand together and sing. Tom?